Well, please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple of verses from verse 42 down to the end of the chapter. And it's part of a series that we're doing in the book of Acts during these days as well. But just perhaps before we begin that reading, just to say that Pastor Charles is not with us today, and please keep them in your prayers. It's a special weekend for them as a family. They are going to be with Matthew, their son, who's at the Boys High Bush School. And it's the kind of time out weekend for them today. So just pray especially. It was Matthew's birthday yesterday. A great father and son time, father and parents, parents and son time. So do keep them in your prayers. And they send their greetings to us as well today. So please join me as we read from Acts chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 40, just reminding ourselves that this was the end of the Pentecost sermon. Verse 40, and with many other words, Peter bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes and receiving their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. May the Lord bless this reading to us today. In our day and age, there's a lot of confusion around the church. Discontent from some, criticism from other sources, skepticism from others, and a lot of defensiveness from those who believe in the church. But summarizing it, confusion regarding the church. Perhaps particularly in the evangelical movement, strangely enough, because in many ways, as authors have put it, the mainline church movement has kind of fallen into a decline and isn't really the issue, isn't really the playing field in these days. Volumes of literature have been written on the subject of the church. Just go to a Christian bookshop with some theological books in and you'll find volume after volume after volume looking at issues relating to the church, questioning its future, highlighting some of the confusion, and in fact asking the question, how should we be doing church? That's the contemporary term. How should we do church today, in this day and age? Just to give you an idea of some of the stuff that's being written, probably this is a secular source, I'm not quite sure, but it appeared in the Natal Witness on the 13th of March this year. Written by a man called Michael Spencer. I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, but this is what he says about the church. We are on the verge of a major collapse of evangelical Christianity. This breakdown will follow the deterioration of the mainline Protestant world and will fundamentally alter the religious and cultural environment of the West. Evangelicals, he goes on to say, trying to explain this phenomenon, evangelicals have failed to pass on to their young people an orthodox form of faith that can take root and survive the secular onslaught. Ironically, the billions of dollars spent on youth ministers, Christian music, publishing, and media has produced a culture of young Christians who know next to nothing about their own faith, except how they feel about it. So I must say I find myself more optimistic than that, particularly in the context of Central Church, where I think we've tried to continue to be doing church, to put it that way, in a biblical way. But nevertheless, I think we must concede that some of these many concerns are actually well founded. To quote another South African author, he puts it this way. He asks the question, when was biblical literacy at such a low ebb? When? When last? Whenever was biblical illiteracy at such a low ebb? He goes on. When were church structures with apostolic leaders and autocracy so much in evidence in the church as in today? And he goes on to say, surely something is actually wrong. Well, I feel there's even a bigger concern, because I think in all this confusion of trying to do church, trying to be relevant, there are many of the practitioners who've actually moved into church movements that actually cause even greater compromise in terms of the adherence to the authority of the Word of God. And Pastor Charles alluded to it some Sundays back. I'm not sure whether it was an evening service or a morning service. Leading to all sorts of compromise, doctrinal compromise, wandering from the truth, a fuzziness about some of the key doctrines of Christianity. For example, often, and you read some of the literature if you're interested in following up on it, a fuzziness about the person of Christ. Charles spoke about that. Pastor C spoke about it last Sunday. Losing sight of the fact that Jesus actually was the Messiah, God Himself. Views of the atonement, which have little biblical support. Lack of clarity on things like eternal punishment. Watering down of the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture. And these things are occurring. And in people's attempt to keep the church relevant and contemporary, many of these key doctrines to our faith and purpose are being neglected. And so hence the title, all this by way of introduction, hence the title for our sermon this morning, How Do We Do Church in God's Way? And this passage here this morning, plus many others, which I think we'll refer to in passing today, but this historical passage of how it was in the early church helps us answer that question. I really do believe, and I want to state it categorically today, that the answer to the decline of the church lies in this and other passages like this in the Holy Word of God. Restoring vitality to the church, and I believe we need it. We need it as individual Christians. We need it as a church today. The answer lies in the Word of God. So let's look at this passage together this morning. And I want us to notice, first of all, the dual nature of the church. The dual nature of the church. Did you notice, as we read through that passage, the two modes of the church described in this passage? Devotion, on the one hand, and relevance to the society in which they lived, on the other side. Devotion. I love it there, the way it describes it in verse 42 and verse 43a. They devoted themselves, it says. That's a strong word, devoted themselves. They made it their core business, if you like. Their core activity, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And then this is the passage. And awe came upon every soul. Okay, do you get the picture there? Devoting to the basic disciplines of Christianity, and awe came upon them again as they did that. But notice the flow out of that devotion was relevance to the community. From 43b down to 47, certain things followed. The life of the community was impacted. There were wonders and signs being done, miraculous interventions by the hands of the apostles, verse 43. Selling and distributing and sharing possessions. Wow! Wow! What a turn away from materialism that we hold so tightly to our chest sometimes in modern life, eh? Selling, distributing, and sharing their possessions. But then in verse 46, 47, witnessing, clear witnessing, bearing testimony to the truth, and conversions following. What an impact. Do you get the picture here? These two modes of being church. And hadn't Jesus himself said in Acts chapter 1, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, which he will give to you. Devotion, waiting, praying. And they did that. They did that. But then, just in a few verses later, Jesus said, you will then receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so there are these two aspects of being church. There's the inward part of being church, and there's the outward part of being church. Devotion on the one hand, and relevance on the other. Being the church and doing the things that flow out of the nature of our being the church, children of God, adoring Him, worshipping Him, loving Him, and yet on the other hand, being the church and going forth, telling the message of salvation. Ralph Winter, a missions writer, uses some big words to describe these two, but it's very important to notice both of these aspects as we go through Scripture. He uses the word, the dichotomy, to describe this dichotomy as sodality and modality. Sodality is what we are. And we've got to do what we are. We are being here, we are being the church here this morning, and in a sense doing the church. But as we go out into all the world, there will be the modality which actually, where we give expression to what we are in the context of the community. And that's what the church does. Now, it's really most important, and I think it comes out so strongly in this passage here, that both these modes do function together. And in fact are synergistic, to use a biological term, where one thing works on another and causes it, and there's a feedback, and the things work together. Biological term I've written here that describes mutually enriching functional relationship. Okay, that's basically what we have here. Being the church in the world, being the church when we worship together. It's lovely in this passage to see, I don't know if you noticed it as we read it through, how one thing followed from another. Did you notice there? First of all, people were saved. Then they were joined to the church. Then they did their thing and did the basic Christian doctrines. And then every verse is a new and. And it says, awe came upon all of them. And many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And verse 45, they were selling their possessions. Verse 46, and day by day they attended in the temple, praising God. Verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. So this is a synergistic thing. These two modes of being church work together. I'm convinced that part of the struggle in the church today is because people have lost sight of this synergy. They've lost sight of the importance of doing both things. Let me sketch some scenarios for you, which maybe you've been part of as you've been around. There are some churches that are focused mainly on devotion. As good as that is, teaching, they love the teaching, fellowship, worship together, and prayer. But sadly, these kinds of churches, there's very little, often very little outwards activity, very little relevance to the world in which they live. They really just are a comfortable little huddle together. Most of the budget is spent on being the church, paying the electricity bills, keeping things nice and clean, doing our thing when we come to church. But come Monday morning, very little activity at all. One of the sad things is that many such churches, hypothetically such churches, actually insist too that the way that they do these devotional activities must be done in a specific way. Otherwise, you're out. You're outside. Or not really made to feel welcome. And so things are conducted in a specific way. They become, these people in these churches, become a clone. Often, the next generation who want relevance and who want change just say, I'm out. And I'm sure you've heard of churches like this. Churches that have gone into a steep decline because of a narrowness, a focus on devotion only. I've summarized it here by saying Christians who know everything about their faith but remain in their shell and seldom share it with others at all. Huge danger. But consider too the scenario of another church focused mainly on relevance. I think this is one of the problems that we have in the church today. Worshipping, interestingly enough, worshipping and doing church is done also in a specific kind of a way, and often in a way that's reactive to the other way, which isn't being appreciated. And so worshipping and church has also got a certain pattern in these kind of churches, usually opposite to that of the established church. Often, sadly, often, solid teaching is neglected and pragmatism prevails. And things often in these kind of churches start to look more and more like the world in which they're trying to reach. You get the kind of a scenario that was described by the author that I read earlier, Michael Spencer, in my introduction. Christians who know next to nothing about their faith except what they feel, and yet are trying to be relevant in a world that needs them. And so, do you get the picture here? The importance of balance. The importance of both and, not either or. I love that, love watching the Pygmalion play, My Fair Lady. And she makes the point about showing it. Remember that song, Don't Talk of Love, Show Me. Remember that song that she used to sing? Maybe you young guys don't watch things like that. Come on, man. But that's what she said. She said to Henry Higgins, look, I don't want you to talk about this. Show me. You see, and this is the balance we need. Yes, maybe we do need to say it to each other. I love you. But basically it's show me. Show me that you love me. And that's what our Lord desires from us as well. Not just words. So many passages in the scripture just describe offerings. I don't want your offerings. I don't want your words of praise. I want hearts that desire to obey me. And so there's this balance over here. Sarah, thank you for that introduction to that breathing in and breathing out. That really illustrates it, doesn't it? Guys, take note now. Nudge your mom and dad if you can. Breathing in and breathing out, both important. And if you don't do one of them, you're going to be sick. Asthma is an example. The asthmatic can't breathe out. And some of you maybe are sitting here and have asthma. No problem breathing in. You can get all the air in those lungs you want, but to get it out is the problem. And you struggle to breathe out. And the more you struggle, the more your elasticity of your lungs just can't stretch anymore. And so you get hyperinflated lungs that are not able to transfer oxygen properly. Eventually it affects your heart. And then you're in serious problems. Obstructive airways disease is the medical name that we give to it. Unable to breathe out. But there are also conditions where we're unable to breathe in properly. Pneumonia is one of those examples where a whole wedge of the lung becomes unable to exchange oxygen. And you've got oxygenation problems as well. And you're sick because you can't breathe in properly. And so we need both of these things, don't we? To breathe in and to breathe out. A couple of months ago, at the end of last year, the leaders of our church here at Central met together. And obviously this kind of issue was an issue as we prayed about the life of our church, where we would like to be going under God. And we actually came up with a new vision statement, if you like, and I asked Pastor Charles's permission to share it with you today. We're going to be hearing more of this, I trust, down the line. But this vision statement actually seeks to maintain this balance. And praise God that we are in a church that has missionary activity. I pray that as individuals, we are the kind of people who are actually living the life of Christians out in the community and not just focusing on devotion. But I think we also seek to have a standard within our church of really devoting ourselves to the God and to the Lord and these important things. So our vision statement is as follows: loving God, caring for each other, and impacting the world. That's what we believe here as a church, the direction that we would like to go. I'd like us to, in future months, maybe we'd be putting this up. You'll see on our welcome pack, you'll see the words loving, caring, and impacting. That's really what it's got to do with. Loving God and breathing in His goodness, knowing His Word, meeting with Him in prayer, being the church in devotion, but then also being a church that goes out and impacts the world around about us. And so I trust you've got the picture here of God's way of doing church so clearly put for us here in this passage. And of course, there's so much more in this passage which we can't even visit today. But I'd like us, in closing in this message, to really personalize some of this. You know, it's one thing being a church, and of course we are part of a church here. But it's another thing then being a part of that church as an individual and living this life of balance, living this life of breathing in and of breathing out. And so I'd like to turn it on to a personal level and ask myself, as I did in preparation, and ask you this morning the question of how is your balance in these two areas? How are you in your devotional life? Oh, I know you. We could all tick it off. I mean, I know we need teaching, don't we? We know we need fellowship. We know we need to worship. We know that we need to pray. But I think the question here is, as we look at the way these people devoted themselves to these disciplines, to the point that awe came upon them again, that really is the issue that I'd like to press home now. How are you? How faithful are you in the basic Christian disciplines? Do you remember the words of Jesus to the church at Ephesus? Let me read them to you again. I know your works, Jesus said, and often we work, don't we? We workers here. Yes, I'm involved in this ministry. I do that almost to the point of not having enough time to do it all. I know your works, your toil. What's the difference between work and toil? Toil is work when you sweat over it. It's tough, but you keep going. Your patient endurance. Bearing up for my name's sake, Jesus said to that church, you've not grown weary. Great commendation. And he went on and he said this to them, but I've got this against you, that you've abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works that you did at first. Repent and do the works that you did at first. You know, it's so easy for us just to get involved in serving. And we go to this Bible study and we do this. All good activities. We seek to witness. We seek to serve God in various ways. And yet we're not breathing in very well. We're not really devoted to Him as we should be. So, again, the question, how faithful are you as a Christian in these basic Christian disciplines? The things that we did at first, when first we loved the Lord. Now we know, and I mean, maybe you can just in your own mind be ticking off your own life and saying, well, I go to church, I get teaching there. You know, and I get fellowship because I sit in a row with people. And yes, I worship because I sing. And I pray, well, yes, I pray. But you know, it's more than that, isn't it? Did you notice the word devotion? It's doing these things to the point where once again we are fueled with awe and devotion to our God. That's the point that's being made here. Where once again we say, wow, I mean, that wasn't just a song that I sang. That showed me again who God was and showed me again who I was. And I found myself actually worshipping God during the singing of that song. One of the things that saddens me most in the church, and I think it's one of the huge issues that divides and confuses the church much today, is that we concentrate so much upon the form of what we do. I think it's a danger for all of us. And I've got my favorite kind of songs as well, Christian songs and hymns. But you know, it's dangerous that we would focus so much upon that. And sit there fuming because it's not my favorite song or my favorite way of expressing it. And fail, actually, to keep contact with God and to worship Him through the words of what we are singing. I think that's possible for us in teaching too, just to come and hear a good message and breathe it in and breathe it in and breathe it in. And yet in personal devotion to the Word to the Word of God. And I would again just commend practically Bible study with other believers as something that we need to be doing. Personal time in the Word of God, where you sit before, instead of before your TV, get something else square in front of you and pick up your Bible and just sit there and worship God to the point where your heart is filled with awe again. Hey, isn't that lovely? Fellowship is more than just being with God's people. It's actually giving and receiving love. It's possible to walk into a church like this and have fellowship, but not to touch anybody or to let anyone touch me. I just commend to you our little church magazine, because in there I made an attempt at writing something that would cause us all to appraise our prayer life. Would you read it? Do me a favor of reading up the little editorial there under my name about prayer. How is our prayer life? And so there are these things here. How faithful are we? You know, the amazing thing, though, is, and it's so awesome, it's like running. It's like jogging. Those of you who've ever jogged, I don't anymore, I confess. But you know, it's terrible when you begin your exercise program. But as you get into it, it actually feeds you. I think you could tell it's probably something that's produced by the body called endorphins, isn't it? Eh? Endorphins. It actually makes exercise pleasurable, and particularly after you've done it. It kind of feeds you and feeds your enjoyment getting that exercise. And that's a physiological thing which has been proven. And it's like this too. These things that we've mentioned here this morning, these basic Christian disciplines, sound very discipliney, don't they? My goodness, getting up in the morning and praying and reading and going to church. But you know, the marvelous thing is once you get doing them, once you've got over that initial stiffness, it's the most wonderful, joyful part of being a Christian. Because that's when you suck off the intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you really are with Him and together with Him and benefiting from His life. The life of the Holy Spirit through you. The Word of God. These things become the most pleasurable and intimate time of your life. And it no longer becomes a drain. And the wonderful thing is that out of that, and we're not even going to talk today about relevance, it's out of that relevance actually comes. Maybe as you commit yourself to disciplining yourself in these areas again, you'll learn to actually realize that you can have an overflowing life like this. And then, and who knows what could happen. So I trust that in this message today, you've seen where real health in the church lies, where health for you and for me as an individual believer lies. It's in devotion, but it's also in relevance. It's in impacting, it's living it out. And you know, when you are out there and you start to feel the inadequacy of being a servant of God, when you're doing your ministry, standing up preaching like this, or teaching a Sunday school class, then you actually get very hungry for God's Word and very hungry for being back with Him again. And so it's a both and. It's an overflowing of God's life through us as we devote ourselves to Him, as we receive afresh from His Word, and then go out and use it. Use those spiritual muscles. Blow that breath out and bless the world around you with the Word of God which you have received. Oh, I pray that this would be so. May the Lord continue just to speak to us through His Word today. Let's pray. Lord, these things are wonderful and great. And oh God, we just thank You for the oxygen of Your Word and Holy Spirit with which we can fill our lungs as we meet together for devotion like this. Oh Lord, we do pray too that we would be able to share and impact and multiply that blessing in the lives of those around about us. Lord, give us Acts kind of Christianity again, we pray. Oh God, be doing a new thing in our lives. We thank You for this church. Thank You that we are a church that attempts to do this. But help us too as individuals, not just to be pew warmers, Lord, but those who would abound in an overflowing life. The life of Christ. The life of the Spirit. The very Word of God. That we may be able to imbibe that and then in turn share it. Lord, we ask it for your glory, for your sake alone.